morning, and that is Holy Virgin Protection Church versus Chertoff.
Good morning. David Lehman of Chicago, Illinois, on behalf of the Russian Orthodox Church, the Diocese of Chicago and Detroit, and Natalia Kalinichenko. By this appeal, we seek review of a decision of Judge Norgel dismissing a suit which in turn sought review of an opinion of the Administrative Appeals Office, the Department of Homeland Security. It's a position of the appellants that the decision of the AAO violates the Administrative Procedure Act in as much as, without notice and comment rulemaking, it imposes additional and, in essence, unconstitutional requirements for the issuance of a religious worker visa.
Mr. Lehman, let me ask you two things here. First of all, I find it very hard to imagine how we could rule in your favor without at the same time overruling our relatively recent decision in El Cotter against Monica. So that's the first point. The second point is, in a much broader sense, under the immigration laws, what Congress has done in recent years adds up to a series of statutes that are designed to funnel the kinds of challenges you're making through the immigration bureaucracy, if you will. As Judge Norgel correctly points out, plaintiff's visa was revoked pursuant to 8 U.S.C. 1155, and then he goes on to say any review of that decision must be heard in the immigration court, not the federal district court. And as you, I'm sure, must know, what Congress has done through the Real ID Act and everything else is it said once you've gone through the process of the immigration court in the Department of Justice, the Executive Office of Immigration Review, and the BIA, then you have an appeal to the federal courts of appeals. But Congress has, in a number of different ways, cut the district courts out of this process. And so it seems to me, A, you've got El Cotter to deal with, and B, you've got the statutory structure that suggests you really just went to the wrong tribunal.
But I can't go to the immigration court.
Well, if she is subject to removal from the United States, she can resist that. She can say, I shouldn't be subject to removal.
Well, she hasn't been placed in proceedings.
I'm sorry, could you speak to that? When she is placed in proceedings,
right,
though, that's
right,
the time when she has the opportunity to make whatever arguments, including, I would assume, the arguments that you're making, that there is no such requirement of a salary for a religious worker or whatever else she might want to say. I mean, maybe your opponent from the government will tell me that there is no remedy in the immigration courts, which would be troublesome, but
well,
it looks to me like there is.
Well, I'm not sure what their arguments are, but the Real ID Act expressly excludes from its scope questions of law.
For appeals to the courts of appeals. Those are the appeals that come up, of which every court of appeals has many, many, many instances, from the IJ to the BIA, and then an appeal to the court of appeals. And what Congress was doing at the same time was it was eliminating habeas corpus jurisdiction in the district courts. It was eliminating, in every way they could think of writing it, they were eliminating the district courts from this process. They didn't mean, except if you've got an APA case.
Well, from the church's point of view, I guess we come down to the power of Congress to remove judicial review from acts which the church regards as violative of the First Amendment. I don't think they can do that.
Why not?
There must always be recourse to the judicial branch to review the allegations here of a violation of the First Amendment.
There's actually no law that says that. I mean, you're familiar, I'm sure, that it wasn't until 1875 that the federal courts had jurisdiction over federal question cases, even. That's when what now is 1331 first entered the judicial code. We right now don't have jurisdiction in diversity cases if the amount in controversy is less than $75,000 or less. because Congress both has the power to create lower courts and Congress also has the power, through its exceptions and regulations authority, to govern appellate jurisdiction. So, believe me, I'm very sympathetic to the idea of wrongs and remedies matching up together, but if there's a route she can take once she's placed in proceedings after a notice to appear, why isn't that enough to satisfy what you're essentially saying, which is some vehicle to raise this point?
But they may elect never to place her in proceedings, and the church independently has, I submit, a right to vindicate the First Amendment in an Article III court.
But where's the church's injury in fact at this point? I understand the church has a general interest in who it appoints to the position of head sister, but has the church itself, without regard to her, suffered any injury in fact?
Yes, it's deprived of the, of having the person it deems most suited to be the elder sister or the head sister fulfill that function.
But if it can't do that, what if it wants somebody who's a member of Al-Qaeda to be head sister? I mean, the government surely has reasons, independent of the church's interest, to govern the immigration process. I don't see how the church's interest can be adjudicated without at the same time adjudicating her immigration status, in which case you're right back where you started from.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, the church just can't come in and say, here is somebody, you know, A.B., who we want for this position, if A.B. is not a U.S. citizen and not otherwise lawfully already in the United States. If A.B. is off in Libya or North Korea or somewhere, the church might want A.B., but the United States government has an independent interest in whether A.B. should be permitted to come into the country.
Well, but they haven't articulated any independent... there's no allegation of criminality or terrorism.
You don't have any authority for this argument you're putting forth here, that the church somehow has an independent right, an independent First Amendment right without determining the status of the alien. I mean, that's really the problem. See, that's the problem you're having.
I think it is a case of first impression.
Right, but you don't even have any cases that come close to supporting this position that you're asking us to take, and you still haven't answered Judge Wood's question on this Al-Qaeda, because I think that just shuts you down totally. That and the Third Circuit case, Gillen, which essentially holds the same thing. You know, this was a discretionary call by Homeland Security, and not subject to review.
Well, they could. The AAO could say, for a certain classification, no Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be fine with the court.
If we have no jurisdiction in this vehicle, we have no jurisdiction. Right. That is what it means to have no jurisdiction.
You know, it would be one thing if there was no remedy whatsoever for her that existed. You know, then you might be able to come in and say no remedy exists, therefore none of the procedures or processes that are set forth in the statute protect us. So now then I could see, well, maybe we would look at this as a case of first impression and see that there were no protections whatsoever for her. But that's not the situation.
But I'm also representing the Russian Orthodox Church.
The church, what were the reasons that the immigration people gave that were contrary to the church?
That the experience that she had that qualified her for the position must have been paid experience, and that she must have followed a particular academic pathway to qualify her for the position, none of which are contemplated by the statute or the regulation. Something they completely made up.
Those are contrary to positions that the church uses to employ people in that position.
Yes, Judge.
So that's really where your constitutional issue is.
Yes, it's I've cited the First Amendment cases, and I think it's clear it impinges upon the practice and doctrine of the Russian Orthodox Church, impermissibly, unconstitutionally. And I submit this is a case of first impression insofar as review of or the standing, maybe it's an issue of standing, of the Russian Orthodox Church to seek review.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Oswald.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. I'm Craig Oswald from the U.S. Attorney's Office on behalf of the United States. Addressing first this issue about, for example, if we had a case here in which the immigration authority said no Catholics or there was some kind of discrimination, I would think that, Your Honors, while there would be jurisdiction, because you'd have a constitutional issue, it would obviously be a violation of equal protection. There's not going to
be.
That's
what he was articulating here at the end. That is that you're imposing conditions of employment that are contrary to what the church requires.
Well, I think that his argument is that the church alone decides this. I don't think that's the case. I think that there are very clear regulations. There are regulations that are set forth in this. Obviously, you've got a situation here, Your Honors, where you're trying, you know, this religion is a very special thing in our society.
Well,
we don't
want to
interfere.
Hold on. I don't understand why you think the church alone can't decide what qualifications it wants for what positions. There actually are internal affairs doctrines that govern churches, and it's not up to federal courts or anybody else, certainly not the executive branch, to tell the Russian Orthodox Church what posts to have and what qualifications. Now, maybe the federal government has the right to say you can only fill those posts with people who are, for one reason or another, lawfully in the United States. That's, you know, that's a different issue, I think. But certainly none of the government's business is to what
that's obviously have. Correct, Your Honor. It's up to them, to whoever they want. But in terms of these categories, and this category is religious vocation or occupation, and that is not a profession. There's two categories in these religious visas. One are professional ministers. They've been trained at a seminary, typically, in that situation. This
but
is
you
not,
know, even in the United
that.
States, that's often not the case. You know, if you look at the history of the religious development of the West, it was denominations that did not require seminary treatment or the like. People could just stand up with a Bible and say, I'm the preacher of the XYZ church, and a lot of those kind of from the ground up churches were precisely the ones that grew in the American West. So why the Russian Orthodox people can't say, you know, we don't require special degrees, particularly for the second of your groups, religious occupation, if you will. Why isn't she like a pastoral assistant?
Well, and she could be, but there are requirements within the regulations and within the law that says that the individual has to be not just secular training, not just administrative training.
But what's the business of the government? He's trying to challenge those regulations. I understand that the regulations are there, but what he's trying to say is, you know, the government is micromanaging what the Russian Orthodox Church can do.
Well, I don't think that is true, first of all, because I don't think the record as a whole reflects that at all, that they're micromanaging. They're presented with a visa petition. I think his argument is essentially the Russian Orthodox Church is the one that issues the visas. They're not. They have to apply for the visa, and they make these certifications. In terms of their certifications, Your Honor, they're all over the place. I mean, one thing here is it's an occupation. It's not just somebody who's a lay member. And there is, in their own evidence, it's replete with evidence that she's a very involved, she sounds like a very involved church member, very involved lay member. Her training that she received was in being a seamstress, which seems to be a secular occupation, an administrative occupation. And also,
what about
she was
the Catholic Church? There are nuns who are do a lot of thinking. I can't say it right now. Contemplative. All different kinds of occupations. Some just pray. Some are cloistered. Some are not. Some do work on the street. How do you?
They take a vow. They have various things. And in terms of the decision that was actually issued, it was their wording was that she has duties as seamstress, maintaining vestments and robes, and meal organizer. These duties appear to be secular in nature. The record fails to show any theological instruction, holy orders, vows, or other specific religious training. I've somewhat gotten, I think that that is within the record, but Judge Norgal didn't even get to that, and under El Cader, you don't, we're, that would be a...
Well, we're talking about the church, not about the her immigration status, the church.
And this all can be challenged, again, when they refile a petition. To me, the record...
So you agree that if she receives a notice to appear and they begin proceedings to remove her from the country, that she would be able, in the context of those proceedings, to challenge these regulations as violative of the First Amendment and as violative of anything else she wants to
say? I think she'd be able to do it there. And I think what she should also do at this point, given this posture, this case, this is a visa revocation case, it's dealt with by El Cader. It is not a denial. And a denial under the APA, we have had these cases. We have defended these cases. We have dealt with them in district court where somebody says, I don't fit into this category. And what they can do, and they are free to do it, is to come back, refile the petition, explain the nature of her duties. I agree with your honors. I'm not comfortable with second-guessing what the Russian Orthodox Church is saying in terms of what this position is. However, this record is I am... The individual who did this case is Sheila McNulty, who is our special assistant. She also happens to be my wife, who gave birth a month early. I have not. So now she's in the horrible position of, you know, it really, you have an idiot as client. You represent yourself. It's probably even worse if your spouse is representing you in court and arguing this. So
and a spouse who can't even get enough sleep.
That's right. She's sleep deprived. And... So I have not looked at all this, and I'm not really comfortable in terms of this, but I would say, looking at this and having some immigration experience, the record in this case is a mess. There are contradictory things that are said by the bishops, and sometimes I agree with you. It looks like this individual has got a very important position in the church. On the other hand, it looks like many of these duties are secular. Many of them are administrative.
But, of course, as Judge Kaney points out, I mean, I'm not sure how much magic we want to put in the word vow, because nuns and other people in religious orders spend a great deal of time, you know, maintaining the place that they live, sewing, which isn't such a, I mean, it's, sewing isn't inherently, you know, secular or church-related. It's the overall purpose of your act.
Right, but there, I don't think the Congress's intent, is the way the immigration authorities have done this, is to say really involved lay people deserve green cards based upon their participation in church. It has to be a vocation. It has to be an occupation. There were issues in this record that, when I looked at it, about whether she was going to be paid. She's offered a salary of $15,000. Those are all issues that I agree, you know, maybe there shouldn't be a be-all, end-all in terms of in this proceeding that say there shouldn't be any judicial review of this.
Well,
what there should be is...
If you go forward, if we would rule in your favor and they would follow the course through the immigration proceedings, will the church be able to be a party to that?
The church would be able to refile this petition on her behalf, and they can have the come back with a package that I would see, you know, I would be, you know, could offer maybe some editorial comment on trying to be a little bit, you know, consistent and clear as to what her duties were. Some of this is issues of translation. I understand that. But the church would be a party to that.
To a refiled visa petition. But the church could not be a party if she's in removal proceedings.
Right. But that's not as clear of a situation. She would be able to raise some of these issues in the removal proceedings in terms of what her case was. But I'm not sure at all that she is in status, or that she's, you know, that she's out of status in any way, or that she doesn't have some other basis to be here. I don't know what that situation is.
The record doesn't tell anything about her husband, whether he's a U.S. citizen, whether she's...
I'm not sure, Your Honor. And to be... I mean, I'm just telling you what I would think about this situation, which is she might have to... I mean, she might really have to wait years to if she's... She stays in status, I mean, and if she's entitled to the visa, she should be able to get a chance to get the visa. And what they can do, there's no bar to refiling this application. This really is on this issue of Al-Qaeda. It's a revocation, which is a discretionary decision, which is a discretionary thing, which this court has said isn't subject to judicial, that part isn't subject to judicial review. If they refile the petition and the immigration authorities still maintain this position based upon the record that they have, that this is not it, that goes into district court on APA review. It's a denial. It's a final agency decision, and they then can, that is brought into the district court, and we've handled those cases there, and we've won some of them and lost some of them, and we've brought them then to this court. We did so the most recent one.
I don't understand what would be different about that from what we have before us right now, where she went through.
Because what we have here is this revocation issue, and it was a revocation where they approved the petition, and then the petition
was revoked. All right, so if she just applies for it and she's denied, then she gets APA review?
That's correct, okay. Your Honor.
Or there could be a direct suit by the church against the
Department of Homeland Security.
Well, technically, when they file this petition, Your Honor, it's technically filed. She's the beneficiary of the petition, generally speaking, and the church is the one that, obviously the caption here is the church, and it's really the church that files it on her behalf.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there could be an independent First Amendment challenge.
I suppose that there could be, Your Honor, in terms of what the First Amendment
party would
be. But it, again, is, yeah. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Lehman, you can have another minute if you'd like.
She really can't, the petition really can't be refiled on her behalf for this reason. The law changed on April 30th, 2001. She's under a prior regime and is able to adjust in the United States under the former Section 245I of the Nationality Act. If counsel is representing that the government will not then, if she refiles, or if the church refiles, and we go through this procedure again, that they won't try to force her out of the United States and apply a 10-year bar, that's one thing. But I think it's a little misleading to tell this court that, oh, well, the church can just refile, because the law changed radically on April 30th, 2001. She's under the prior law. She's in state of facts. She's entitled to the benefit of 245I, meaning that she and the dependents may adjust inside the United States and are not compelled to leave the United States. Were she compelled to leave the United States, I believe they will take the position that she's out for 10 years. I think that's a very important point. I don't know if counsel is aware of that, or because sometimes the litigators aren't, but I have a general practice in this field, and she would probably be subject to a 10-year bar if she had to leave the United States and then re-enter in the classification.
So thank you, Mr. Lehman. Thank you, Mr. Oswald, as well. The case will be taken under advisement.